Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No man.
Welcome to episode 364 of Fourth and John. I'm Gale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Primo in the building. Tonight's talk is Eagles timeline talk. We know it's the off season, but the off season is always the reason for the birds. Gotta talk about the time, like, because there's things that need to be talked about. Some stuff it's fluff time, because obviously, the news around the block is 2 weeks away from camp. We're gonna have actual real news. You're not gonna have to watch clickbait.
We try and steer away from that too. We try and not be the clickbaity type. We try and bring you the news.
I try. But I'm going to give you some breaking news to the guys. We just got a house.
Oh!
We got
it. Congratulations.
That's what's up.
Congratulations. Was it
any of the two that you sent me?
It was, yeah. Well, we got the one we wanted. First offer, we got the house.
Congratulations, guys.
Awesome. That is a blessing. But shout out to you guys, for people in the chat who are making it in. Any big news besides you guys got some big news to share?
I mean, I thought I was just going to drop the bomb with, hey,
you got a grip?
Let's not, you know, dance around the bush here. Happy Prime Day. That's all I was going to come in with. I didn't make any, you know, multi-hundred-thousand-dollar purchases today. So I'm kind of behind the eight.
Shout out to Amanda.
Shout out to Amanda for sure. Dwayne? Showing his congrats.
So
big day for the Saunders house. What's going on with you, Primo?
Nothing much, man. Tacos. You know what I mean? Prime Day, Taco Tuesday. I already had a couple tacos in me. You know what I mean? So I'm good to hold me down at least till the show's over. But you know, just a regular work day, man. A lot of people been hitting me up, sending me memes. Today's my special day. You know, Prime Day. So, but other than that, you know what I mean? Just looking forward to rocking out on the show today.
Oh, man. At the end of the day, man, like, I'm just excited about this season. You know what I mean? Like, previously asked you guys some random Eagles thoughts. So we want to get Eagle fans, you guys in the chat, what your random Eagles thought is as we get towards the season. We'll hit that in the middle of the show. But, I mean, you know, can we start with some saltiness? Because I'm trying to think of the word. Behooves me,
Samuel.
Like, to see Deebo Sam, like, again, like, if anyone knows me, like, during draft season, I was in love with the prospect Deebo Samuel. Was hoping that he would land on our Eagles, but watching him operate as of late, he can't let it go. Obviously, he wanted the smoke, because, I mean, with the quote, he wanted the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's continuously asked about the smoke he brought to the table. And declined to answer the question. He kind of like just hung up on the interviewer. It was CBS Sports.
Zach Gelb, like, the Zach Gelb
show. I'm out of here. Is Debo the most? I'm trying to think of the word. I mean, these are his words. He was asked about him saying that the 49ers would have beaten Philly by double digits if Purdy stayed healthy. That's a bold statement.
No, I completely agree with you. And, I think that is a really bold thing to say and then run away from once you get asked about it. Trash talk is a part of sports. That is something that is going to happen. I am not a fan of the coulda, shoulda, woulda, kind of trash talk, because you going in and saying, oh, well, had this happened, then this would have happened. Nobody knows that, man. You can't just, stick your foot in the ground and be like, this is exactly what would have happened had everything gone perfectly. Yeah, had everything gone perfectly, we would have won the Super Bowl, but that's not how it played out. We're not sitting here crying about it, man. We just lost the game. It was unfortunate that Brock Purdy ended up going down in that game, because I truly believe that the outcome would have been the exact same. And then all these tears could have been saved for another time for these poor, poor 49ers fans. I think it's pretty pathetic. I do. I did see a thing out there. Torrey Smith. I'm not sure if you guys saw his comment on it, but he quote tweeted the interview that has gone viral now. And he was simply saying, Torrey was saying, he obviously doesn't want to talk about it anymore. Everybody just needs to move on. And the thing is that, like, if you are jumping on a Philadelphia based sports talk show, and you are the 49ers, you are Debo Samuel, what did you think we were going to talk about? We weren't going to talk about 49ers Eagles? You thought we were going to talk about, how's the outlook on the 49ers look this year? Why the hell would we give a shit in Philadelphia? It doesn't make sense to me.
I don't get it, man. I mean, my thing is, we're talking about, some random thoughts for today. Here's a thought. Did you ever, take the initiative to take that energy towards your offensive line? Your offensive line was the reason Purdy got hurt.
It was offensive.
I mean, like, come on. Yeah. Did you have that same energy towards them? Like, they didn't do their job that day. Our defense did. One person off that defensive line did his job. Excuse me. Did his job and continued to do his job the whole way.
Temple Zone.
And I mean, like, come on. And you're taking all this frustration, bro. You wanted to be known as that diva? Listen, don't worry about it. It's yours, man, all day. You know what I mean? Diva of 2023 is all yours. You own the title, because, I mean, like, you ain't never going to let this shit go. And then you proving yourself today the way you hanged up on that guy. It was just, like, the funniest shit, man. Honestly, I didn't even know what went down. I had people come and showed up in my cubicle. It was like, yo, did you hear what happened today? And I'm like, nah. He was like, yo, Debo Samuel is still butthurt about it. I'm like, so I got on and I'm listening. And I'm like, wow, man, this is some real childish shit. Right? Yeah. That's pathetic, bro.
It's at the end of the day, you got to think about your offensive-minded coach who put your QB in that situation to fail. At the end of the day, it is what it is. That's the one thing that I wanted in that game. For Hassan Reddick to set the tone. And when that happened, I think I grabbed you and was like, exactly what I wanted to see.
Right. And I mean, you were talking about it in the very beginning, before the game even started. Like, yo, this defensive line is going to crush this offensive line, get in there and do the damage. And it happened first quarter. I mean, like, that was just like the outcome. The fact that you're going to go and say that you could have beat us had he been healthy, fourth string quarterback. I think we were up by like 14, 17 points at the time he got hurt. Like, come on, dude. Like, how do you think that you were going to go ahead and beat us by double digits?
With Purdy.
You serious?
And not to mention, like, Brock Purdy being on the field, the 49ers offense being on the field, that was only half the game. I mean, what about the Eagles offense that was just stepping all over the 49ers defense? What was Brock Purdy going to do about that? I don't understand. Was he going to be able to keep up with the, second all pro quarterback in the year. I don't know, man. I think the whole thing is silly. And I think that all of these, I saw that there was another radio station in San Francisco that they're chiming into it, dude.
Oh, yeah, believe me, you know, you're the king. Ev is the king troll of Marlton. Yeah. So if he's got something to say, he's going to say it. So I'm just randomly going through the timeline. Again, we're talking about timeline. I see Brother Ev. Man, look at all the trouble that they're giving us. And this guy below, he literally
tiny little man.
He said all this stuff about
we're scumbags.
We're scumbags. I got the audio here. So he gives it some flavor here.
Okay.
got it all queued up.
I'm from Philadelphia. This goes back to my original problem. Oh, our fans, we're tougher than anyone. No, you're lower life scumbags more than anyone, and I'm sick of it. We've perpetuated this. It's okay to be a dirty, crappy fan in Philadelphia because that's what Philly fans do. That I'm so sick of it. If Niner fans did this, okay, you know what they would file it under? Thugs. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
You know why? Because our fan base looks a little different than the Philadelphia fan base. Believe
what
me,
do you mean by that?
Stadiums. All right? I'm so sick of this. We do this thing with Philadelphia fans. Oh, you don't know what's coming for you. What? A bunch of low-life scumbags cussing and swearing and throwing things at people?
Yeah.
Like, I'm so sick of it. And you know, good for Debo for hanging up on him. Screw Philadelphia. See, this is the problem with Philadelphia.
Huh. No, well, you know what's interesting about a guy that claims that he had a lot of stuff thrown at him? I'm looking at that outfit. It's looking pretty clean, Gail. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. It looks like he hasn't had anything thrown at him all day. That smile's telling me he's having a good time. So I'm just curious as to how we became scumbags.
And shout out to Matt Brick or Brike on Twitter. He has a photo with this said radio host from San Francisco. He says, I literally took this picture with these guys at the NFC Championship game. They were saying how nice the stadium was and were respectful. They left the game early. All of a sudden, we're scumbags.
And you know what one of my favorite things about Lincoln Financial Field is? No one's been stabbed in the parking lot like at the 49ers stadium. I mean, knock on wood. Knock on wood for sure. But I want somebody that is a 49ers fan to link me to the story where that happened in Philadelphia because, you know, back I think it was 2011, there was a Dallas Cowboys fan that was stabbed in the parking lot because he was wearing Dallas gear. Scumbags, right? That would classify as scumbags that are stabbing people.
I mean, it's a lot of, at the end of the day, I mean, even in that WIP had posted the audio, they had a picture of our tailgate in there. Mm. And when he's saying scumbag part, you know, our tailgate's in there.
as we're giving out free beer, free cheese sticks.
Scumbags.
Holding it down, yeah, but we scumbags. Scumbags. I mean, look, my man's really reaching with all these comments and everything. Like, proof is in the pudding. Love me. You looking like you're really having a great time at the field in the picture. And like Evan, like, pointed out, man, I don't even see a drop on your jersey, on the jacket, nowhere near you.
He looks okay to me.
And to be honest with you, that spot that you're sitting at, we're familiar with that spot because we ain't too far from there. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, no, actually, we are on the other side. But I've been in that section. Those people, they ain't rowdy. Now, I could see you taking that picture up on the top.
Hey, you're in the lower bowl,
that's
bro.
Something different. You know what I mean? Like, okay, maybe you might be halfway there. But in that section, I seriously doubt if anybody was throwing shit.
And on top of that, like, it almost feels as if, like, if any sort of Eagles fans were to talk trash at one of these games, it feels like that is, you know, oh, well, here we go. There's Philadelphia fans. But, like, let's be realistic. You go to any stadium across the entire NFL, there's going to be trash talk if you show up in the opposing team's jersey. Because there's always going to be fans that are diehard fans that really care about their team, and they're not trying to be a dick to you personally. They're just trying to – they're just ripping you, man. They're just giving you some shit because it's NFL Sunday, and, you know, if that's the stereotype that we have – that we like to talk shit about our teams, man. There's worse things that we could do, like stabbing people in the parking lot. That's one of them.
I think we showed great hospitality that day, knowing that we were going against the 49ers, and knowing that the fan base doesn't like us just as much as we, you know, pretty much don't like them. But we have some close friends that are 49ers fans. Yep. Shout out to Jen, you know what I mean? Kincaid's wife. She's a big 49ers fan. I mean, diehard female 49ers fan. She knows her shit. She's really dedicated. She'll be truthful about, you know what I mean, who she would rather have in there as a quarterback in Newton. When Garoppolo got her, what's his name? Lance. And then you got Purdy. I mean, like, she doesn't hold back on how she really feels about her own players. But we had other 49er fans at our tailgates. Yeah, we talked shit. Yeah, we were busting their balls and everything. But you know what? But we took care of them. We you know what I mean? We showed them a great time. And then at the end of it all, they came back to us and they told us how much of a great time they had. And so all this shit they're talking, man, you just can't accept the fact that you got your ass handed to you.
And you know what bothers me the most about it is that we're sitting here and I'm forced to talk about these losers for 15 minutes when, you know, they're not relevant, man. Like, mark my words. What Butcher Boy 415, the guy that said that we're all scumbags. Hey, dude, mark my words. The Brock Purdy regression is happening this year. The dude's not even going to be starting by the time we play he plays the Eagles in week 13.
Yeah, so it's a topic that it's timeline talk. So this is why we're talking about it. But speaking of diehard fans, shout out to Jerome. He says, on a side note, I'm finally moving back to the area on July 31st after being away since 97. Looking forward to tailgating with y'all boys and getting back to the SB. I'm telling you, this ride is going to be magical. Last year, magical. If you were around for tailgates, if you're around traveling with Philly sports trips, enjoying the ride, going two trips to Arizona. I know the second one wasn't what you wanted it to be, but again, the whole ride was insane. I think I could speak for everyone. Let's say it was a great, great ride. Great ride.
Absolutely. The bar is set, man. And the three of us, we set that bar. And then, you know what I mean? With the help of a lot of other people, you know what I mean? We that's our goal every single week, is just to go ahead and give back to the fans and show them a good time, regardless if you're an opposing fan, you know, opposing team fan, whatever, you're still going to get shown the great hospitality. But I could stay on this subject for the whole show, bro, because let me tell you, you guys know, you two know, and a lot of people out there know, Dallas Cowboys is the team I cannot stand the most. But you know what? This year, 49ers just really worked their way to the top of that list.
It's kind of weird.
They really worked their way to the top of that list, and I can't wait till week 13. I cannot.
And without including recency bias, I want to know who you think had the biggest tantrum out of these three teams, the Niners, the Saints, and the Vikings.
Niners, bro.
The Saints did whine.
With the masks on and everything.
But the 49ers – The team, I mean, the actual players have done a shit ton of wide. McCaffrey included.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them. Oh, what, Kittle?
It's one thing when it's the fan base.
There's a kicker.
The freaking kicker.
Come on, man. They're all getting involved. So.
But circling back to, you know, the tailgate being, you know, hospitable to everybody. In the vein of hospitality, if you have attended a 4th and John tailgate, one thing that you know happens is that there's a long-ass line for them cheesesteaks.
All day.
Prime Day came through today, boys. We upgraded the grill game. We got way more grill space. And the cheesesteaks are going to be flying off the grill a lot faster at tailgates this year. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you got your cutting hands ready.
I'm ready, bro.
We'll see how excited Ev
filled on the side
is ready, to bro. Actually serve the people.
Excited.
And it doesn't even matter what color jersey you're wearing. Ev will hook you up. Just hook them up with a tip at the end of the day. talking about the myth, the man, the legend, you know, Jalen Hurts again, coming out on top. Jalen Hurts this month, I mean, in the month of June, was the number one selling jersey in June. We're talking across the NFL, guys. So when we talked about Jalen Hurts and just him being a leader behind the scenes, being a player that kids can look up to, just
fashion mogul.
fashion advice. If you need the swag advice, if you need to know what a leader looks like, he's taken the NFL by storm, and people, this right here tells you that people are out here buying his jersey. And we, the Kelly Green jerseys have not even released yet. Shout out to Todd. I know he had asked one of those tailgates. I mean, one of those jerseys dropping. I did hear. Shout out to Tim. I heard July 18th was one thing I heard. So that's right around the corner. Mm-hmm. I am still asking people around the way. It could be earlier than that.
Do you guys think that, because I genuinely think that Kelly Green Hurts jersey, like, I feel like 7 out of 10 people down at the stadium are going to have that on. Like, I feel like that is going to easily be the top selling jersey in Philadelphia. Everybody is going to have that Kelly Green Hurts.
It's going to be a Kelly Green up in that stadium every single Sunday season, bro.
That is wild. That is wild. I have the Kelly Green helmet back there.
I was telling Gail a couple of days ago, like, yo, I might just stop buying our modern, you know, Eagles logo and just buy Kelly Green here on out. You know,
word. I
mean, seriously, bro, I'm hyped up. A new hat just dropped last night. I copped it. I'm like, yo,
black and green.
The one where it has a P, an E, and a W.
See, I already know. Yeah. I'm already there.
Let's
with you.
Go, bro.
I'm already there with you. We have problems, but other way. Anyway, talking about problems. Let's see, not problems, but I mean, if you are a fat man or you're trying to lose some weight here,
I'm listening.
There's some news out here. Jason Kelce has announced that he has his own signature donut. It's called
Help me lose weight.
It's called the Fat Kelce. It has peanut butter glaze, bacon, chocolate, and honey drizzle. They're sold at select New Jersey fractured prunes. Proceeds will be going to Philly Public Schools. Mm-hmm. You want to know what it looks like?
I mean, it sounds delicious, but yeah.
I mean, this guy looks – look how happy this dude is. Just, you know, giving back,
Kelce,
eating donuts. Wow. Look at this thing, man. Thing, bro. Can you handle that?
I don't know why.
What are you about to say?
No, it was the tie-dye, bro. That was throwing me off. It was Kelce in the tie-dye. I was like, dude, that photo just told me. I was like, Kelsey's just gonna become like Tommy Chong when he retires, bro. It's gonna be tie-dye, smoking weed, eating donuts.
Fat Kelce? I'm eating that. I'm eating that.
I would eat the hell out of that, man. It looks so good.
You guys ever had bacon on a donut before?
I have not, but I mean, sweet and salty do go well together.
It's the next. I went to this Duck Donuts.
Yeah,
they have
I'm familiar.
Bacon donut. Next level. I mean,
I know
Ev is a foodie.
Do love food.
I mean, yeah, I think I gained 5 pounds.
That's a good item right there, bro. Just and look at the crisp on that bacon too. That's nice and crispy.
Just
bacon.
Looking at it, I gained 5 pounds.
Deshae says he's had it. And he said that it's a little bit
too much drizzle,
too much drizzle, too much swag for you on a donut. It's not. It has nothing on the crunchy beer.
They'll knock it till you try.
Deshae says he likes eating bacon and pancakes together.
Yeah, you get some syrup on the bacon. Ooh, ooh.
Did you see? I saw one where the other day they put the batter down, put the bacon inside, then put another batter on top of it.
Made a bacon pancake?
Bacon pancake, bro.
Oh,
life changer.
Yeah, game
changer.
I think we're going to have to try and come up with some kind of...
I mean, we got a new flat top now. We got all these things we do.
I mean, Ed was talking about a... I'll let you say it.
I don't know if we were about to say the same thing, but I think we are.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I was thinking about adding something to the menu. A little, maybe a buffalo chicken cheesesteak.
Oh, shit.
I mean, just thoughts on that. You get yourself a regular cheesesteak, fried onion. You can get yourself a buffalo chicken cheesesteak. I'm just curious where people's heads are on that. I can make it happen.
I can dig it, man. Shout out to Jay Gleckner. He brought me to a spot. I had my first buffalo chicken cheesesteak, and I was actually wowed. Chef's kiss. Mm. You know, right. I was like, is this really all what it's wrapped up to be? And it actually was. It was actually good. Now, if you guys have any random thoughts, we'd love to hear your random thoughts. We're going to let this conversation be geared by you guys, too. So if you guys have any thoughts, Eagle thoughts, topics, bring them up and we'll talk about it because it is the Eagles timeline talk.
Timeline talk time.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I had one that I feel like hasn't really been talked about much at all. Listen to Shay. Bring some Tums, okay, with your heartburn and the buffalo sauce.
The Shay's like 25 in the Tabo class talking about heartburn.
Get yourself some Tums. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about our new offensive coordinator. I feel like that is not something that has really been talked about in the whole Eagles news cycle. I mean, we've obviously had a tremendous draft, but we've also had a lot of moving pieces in the coaching department. And I just want to bring everybody up to speed on the fact that, like, dude, Brian Johnson and Jalen Hurts' relationship goes way, way, way back, like 20 years back. You know, and I thought one of the more interesting things about this is that when Brian Johnson had come in originally, you know, interviewed by Shane Steichen, he talked to him for 8 hours. And didn't even mention the fact that he had known Hurts all this time. They were just sitting there talking football. And Steichen, you know, recognized his football acumen and said, this is the guy for the job. And lo and behold, he comes after he gets the job. He ends up telling him, he's like, yeah, I've known Hurts since he was in preschool. And to be able to just pocket that information and rely on your football knowledge, I think it says a lot, man. Like if I was in that interview, I'd be leaning on that card all day long. I'd be like, hey, by the way, I know the guy, you know what I mean? But he's an actual football guy that he knows what he's talking about. He knows how to scheme with or without Hurts. And I think that their relationship together is going to make them that much stronger.
20 years.
I do think the communication is key, man. Like when you can look at your coach and your coach is like, you know, you're in tune with mm-hmm. And it's also being the off field relationship, just helping the communication. It's going to be great. Obviously we haven't seen him in the heat of fire, but I think from what has transpired over him being in that incubator system of mm-hmm. being the next, I think, you know, at the end of the day, we'll see what he brings to the table. You know, I'd love to see how their relationship helps them out even more. I think, but he's got the ear of the QB. It's not like you're gonna have some disrespectful moments between those two. There's a mutual respect there.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that Patricia Slay type of relationship.
Yeah, I like Todd's comment here because the combo is definitely gonna be magical. I mean, the relationship these two have, seeing these boys go to work, man. You know, Brian Johnson bringing his coordinating, you know, experience to the table. You know, this is the position that he wanted. He got it. And, you know, I mean, he's got the best quarterback right now in the league to go ahead and, you know, play that spot. So, I'm really excited to see these two do some magic this season.
Rack Shack brings up the topic of was Brian Johnson on the undefeated team?
Mm-hmm. Brian Johnson was also which I thought was even crazier. He was coached by Hurts' father back in the day as a high school quarterback at Mississippi. But I thought that was interesting. Also taught his dad.
Gail all of a sudden got muted there.
No, he did Brian Johnson was the QB of the Utah team that was undefeated in 2008. So,
okay.
He's got the winning culture as well, man. Chase asks if y'all could create your own donuts, what would it be? I think wow. Prime would make a taco donut. Is that possible?
Taco donut? No. Chill with
that. A donito?
A donito. I like that.
Make some money, bro.
A donito. I like that. I'll label it as a donito, but you know what I mean? I got to put the Yeah, I gotta put the recipe together, man. That's a tough one, but man, after looking at Kelsey's donut, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if anything could top that shit.
I agree with you, and I was kind of gonna lean on Kelsey's thing, but just for the sake of giving an answer, I'm a big fan of cinnamon. I could do like a snickerdoodle donut.
That's natural, bro. Stop. Come on. They already got it. Somebody, there's a lot of people already got cinnamon donuts out there.
It's my donut. Let me make my donut.
It's called a snickerdoodle donut?
I don't fucking know. I'm just saying that's what I would make.
The classic.
I'm going to call it a snickerdoodle dandy.
The Hollywood classic donut.
The Hollywood donut.
God damn. Just trying to answer a question.
I would have to go with the Kelly Green, and it would be apple in there.
Apple.
Yeah, a green donut with apple and apple filling in it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna go for a snickerdoodle donut.
You said you got donuts.
I agree with you. See, bro, no, you know what I mean, you gotta throw a little bit of glaze in there. Someone with some peanuts. Yeah. Hey, look, man, I'm down with the peanuts being on the donuts, man. I'm good.
The cross says that's nasty. Yeah, I like apples, so if you put that in a donut, make it Kelly Green for the spirit of the Kelly Green movement, I'm with it. Because Mr. Michael was asking about the Kelly Green. We talked about earlier, we're thinking July 18th. But I think that could be just Nike, but it could be a little bit earlier. I'm going to the store to just get some intel, see if they'll give me the information. Mm. So I'll be there in the morning.
Donut with cheesesteak filling. Mark, wow. Wow.
Shout out to Wealthy Mind joining the chat. He says Prime got that strength and conditioning coach. Get up, what's good?
Okay.
Hey, yo. Okay. If you saw Prime, and asked him straight to his face, he wants the position of the dude who you always see picking, the hype man that always picks the guys up off the sideline.
Give me that job and it's over, bro. It's over. Not only am I going to be doing that, I'm going to be talking shit from the other sideline too. Like, I'm going to be that guy. You ain't shit, bitch.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know who that dude is, I forget his name, but you'll always see him. Go watch every single game and you'll see a coach picking up a player and hyping him up.
And you can see me being that guy.
Or hyping the coaches up. That's that dude. That's Prime's position. Official hype man of the Eagles. Talking about hype of retirements, Richard Sherman was talking about Devontae Smith putting him in a blender.
That's crazy.
To the point where we're talking about Richard Sherman. We're talking about a guy who's talked shit with the best of them.
Try me with a wide receiver like Michael Crabtree.
That man, Devontae Smith, routed him into retirement. So that is, I think, from a route guy junior that we call him around here. That is, he was on the Lane John. He was on his podcast talking to Lane Johnson. He gave up that information. That's for, we're talking about potential Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. I think Richard Sherman's a lock, honestly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, I can say that. For him to let that information out there. That's he humbled himself.
Yeah, for sure. And that's crazy, too. When you just think about listening to the story where he's talking about how quickly Devontae is able to just cut in his routes. And he's like, oh, I felt like my hamstring was about to pop if I kept up with him. And then you could see footage of him, you know, asking to be pulled out by his coach. But the Eagles were in the hurry up and he wasn't able to. And yeah, that it's pretty crazy that was like Devontae Smith was the player that a Hall of Famer realizes, like, yeah, I just don't got it anymore, man.
I'm not surprised, man. If you, I've been calling about his routes for years. And so Richard Sherman on facing Devontae Smith, I'm trying to chase him around. Like, please don't throw him the ball. Please. Coach is looking at me like, hey, you want to come out? At that moment, I was like, yeah, this is my last year. I don't got it for these young dudes right here. Mm. I'm proud of Devontae.
Dude, he's one of the best route runners in the league.
Yes, he is.
I think he's only going to continue to get better.
Todd talks about his personal donut
if he was personalizing his donut, or this, if you're just coming in to podcast and you're like, what are we talking about donuts for? Jason Kelsey has his own donut called the Fat Kelsey. Todd says his would be some kind of pumpkin spice ginger. So we should just call that the soccer mom donut, pumpkin spice, the fall donut, you know?
I guess.
I ain't gonna lie. I drink
Wentz donut.
I've drinking some pumpkin coffee in my lifetime.
Oh, tremendous.
Tim calls Devontae Smith a smooth criminal. Mark chimes in with Devontae being a route technician. All words I would describe.
And I was with some friends this past weekend, and we were sitting around talking about what we. There were several. There was fans of several different fan bases that I was sitting amongst, and we just got to talking. I think we've narrowed it down to 25 teams that Devontae Smith will be a wide receiver one on in this league, excluding the Eagles as well. Because AJ was included in that seven. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So there's seven teams I would say that he's not. And when to have that at your wide receiver two, where your wide receivers two is better than the wide receiver ones on 25 other teams. I mean, God dang.
Darren calls Todd's
donut
the basic bitch, which includes pumpkin spice and everything nice. Okay. Shout out to Andrew in the chat. What's up, boys?
What up?
Yeah, man, shoot us your topics. Anything is a go right now. Donuts, route technicians, smooth criminals. Shout out to Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson has the his O-line summit every year. Doing great. The thing that that's cool about Lane is you've seen his like progression.
Mm-hmm.
Year in, year out. Like, you know, obviously Lane had, you know, his early troubles, whatever. But
juice.
he's the maturation process of Lane has been incredible. We're talking about one of the best to do it, Hall of Fame career. He's the guy who's now sharing the wealth of information to all the young linemen out there, but also he's smart because he's out there actually getting the download from all the linemen in the league to tell us the secrets. They get to trade tips. I think what he's doing out there is pretty awesome with the O-line masterminds.
Definitely. I mean, Lane Johnson is a guy, if I'm an up-and-coming offensive lineman, that's a guy that I would want to learn from. And just his stats, dude. Like, it blows my mind every time. We're like, I think I had seen something during this playoff run that he didn't allow a sack in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Was it in the playoffs or something like that? I think it was just in the red zone, period. He hadn't allowed a sack for like a decade, dude. A decade of just not allowing anyone through in the red zone. That's crazy. But I'm curious. Do you guys think that – I know that we're biased, and we all would put him in the Hall of Fame for sure – but do you think that the steroids allegations could potentially keep him out?
No, not at all.
You don't think so?
No. No.
Okay.
No.
Same baseball.
Lane is just—he's been a perfect prospect since the day one, dude. Day one.
That's a Chip Kelly boy, isn't he?
Yeah. 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 I mean, Lane Johnson. Quarterback. You're talking about a guy who played quarterback. They moved him to what, like tight end, and then he played defensive end.
He even played safety at one point too.
Safety in high school. Bro. I mean, I think he's just underrated. I mean, how many linemen do you know out there that have abs? Also, we're talking about his injury. Lane Johnson came back from injury.
Yeah,
during the playoffs, and he said that every single defensive lineman was trying to bull rush him because of the injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, using the techniques that he has, he's like, you know, I use it to my benefit. I, you know, throw him a little fake. But he's the technician when it comes to being a savvy veteran.
I mean, with an injured ankle, he was able to stand up the defensive player of the year in the NFC Championship game pretty well. So, yeah.
Shout out to Kincaid. Mr. Kincaid says Lane is a beast. Tim asks, did you guys catch Stoutland's interview on the Kelce podcast?
I did see a portion of that, and I thought that that was funny. Especially just based off the fact that when I saw Howie Roseman on there, it was Jeff Stoutland calling. He was like, hey, you ready to get off this podcast and get back to getting players? But, I mean, Stoutland is – it's very interesting to see him in this sort of capacity, because when you look at him and when you see how he coaches, like, he seems like a drill sergeant. But then you watch interviews with him and he talks and you're like, dude, he's a really down-to-earth, like, nice dude, bro.
Even when you have conversations with him, like, such as the Eagles autism. Yeah, he's a real down-to-earth person, mellow, chill. You wouldn't even think nothing like that. But, man, when he's in that locker room or when he's in that building, mm-hmm. he's a totally different person.
Yeah, I mean, Stoutland, in terms of, like, keeping these guys together, he's a dude that just really – it's not just about the players that he's coaching. But even his wife is involved in, like, just kind of getting, like, the wives or the girlfriends of the players together. Like, we're talking, like, family dinners, getting them out, like, getting them acclimated to the city, whether it is. Like, if you go see Stoutland, go up to him, talk to him. He'll let you know that all the Georgia talk. I was with Louis DiBiase. He's like, yeah, how about the Bama boys in here? Like, I don't want to hear none of that George. He's just got a whole bunch of energy. I think he's great for this team, great for the city, great for the fan base. And I told him that we'd vote for him for mayor if that was a possibility.
There's a few people that are a part of this organization that could be mayor. I mean, Kelce versus Stoutland, that would be a pretty tough card for people to vote for.
Deshae asks, is it true Nolan Smith is bigger in person? I can tell you for a fact that he is bigger than people think he might have been. We're talking about his build. And I think people are going to be – I mean, if you see him whipping around these bags here, he's got some speed. He's got some juice. Like, that is my nickname, Juice Man Jr. Juice Man Senior. Is Brandon Graham.
Okay. I like that.
Was that a Hollis? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Shout out to Hollis and shout out to his mom.
And Malcolm.
Shout out to Malcolm. And his wife.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Todd says his little nephew will be meeting Nolan Smith at the football camp in Savannah this weekend.
Nice.
Down in Georgia. Very nice.
Hey, Todd, if you give us some intel, give us some footage. If you're going down there, let us know. We'd love to
get a quote, anything you got, Todd. You could be
Fourth and John Insider.
Fourth and John Insider. I mean, like, this is like with all the people getting laid off at all these big companies, all our sports companies. The best inside job is to have your own inside job.
If I find my Crayola crayon box, I'm going to get you a media pass, Todd, and you will get right up to him.
question. I just saw this. Who brought this up? Actually, Tim. Shout out to Tim Perkins. He says, have you guys heard about the Aaron Donald trade rumors?
I have not. Is he getting moved?
I randomly saw this on a YouTube post, and I did not click it just because I'm like, I'm going to click this shit, and I'll be mad that I watched it.
Aaron Donald could be traded by the trade deadline if the season starts bad.
Now, that would be interesting mid-season. But again, there's so many players on the squad right now, we don't have to do that.
That's a tough one for me, because the way I think about it initially is, dude, we've already got so many cooks in the kitchen right now, but dude, we're talking about potentially the greatest defensive tackle of all time, and for him to even come in here and teach Jalen Carter, you know, Nolan Smith, Milton Williams, all these younger guys, Jordan Davis. That in itself has its own value. You know what I mean? So
true that.
It really depends on how, because a trade package for Aaron Donald is not going to be cheap. And I think it's going to involve first. And right then and there, I'm out. I don't want to trade.
I think it definitely will, because I mean, you already know the position the LA Rams are in. You know what I mean? They're like, they gave up their whole farm just to get that Super Bowl. So it's going to be a while till they get, you know, those draft picks. So yeah, I could see it being the first round for sure.
Could be multiple when you think about like a guy that was an offensive tackle like Laremy Tunsil went for multiple firsts. Like Aaron Donald.
When do you think Aaron Donald hangs it up though?
Probably at the end of this year or next year, I would say.
Seriously?
He's been talking about retirement for the past several years.
No, I didn't even peep that.
Yeah, after they won the Super Bowl, he was mulling around the idea, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, you're like 30 years old. What do you think about retiring? But
Deshae,
everybody's got their own time, man. You know,
Deshae says he doesn't want Donald.
I want Donald. I just don't want to pay the price it would take to get him.
Yeah.
Mark asks, where's Hollis getting served tea and crumpets tomorrow? It was his mom's birthday, right? Right? Mom's birthday? Or going to surprise mom?
He was with someone in Arizona or something.
Half of that question. Maybe, yes, he might be getting served tea and some crumpets right now.
Always here.
Bougie ass.
Tim says age 32 for a multiple first. I'd say, I don't know, not multiple first, maybe a second.
Do you think that I just don't think that Aaron Donald goes for a second.
Nah, not the position that LA's in. I don't see it.
Maybe one?
I see a one.
Yeah.
I
don't want to give up one is the thing. I mean, we got two of them, right, going into the next year. I'd rather just keep that in itself.
That's why I'm kind of like, it's great the way that we drafted. We got young talent in here. We got two tackles that are going to be superb. They play together. They're going to work off each other nicely. We got Nolan Smith added into this defensive line. That's exactly where we needed to get younger. You talk about the Hargraves out the door. We talk about Fletcher Cox getting long in the tooth.
Going back to that question that somebody was asking, if Nolan Smith is that big guy in person, I mean, we saw him at the Eagles Autism. Pretty big kid, you know what I mean? Pretty big kid in yeah, I even took the initiative to get the boy in trouble, you know what I mean, because he wasn't paying attention. I was snitching.
Coach yell at him to keep serving the water.
Yeah, keep serving that water. Like, yo, man, pay attention to serve that water.
Serve that water. Go Sixers says, would Donald want to move his family?
I don't give a shit.
It's like...
For the paper, man, I mean, come on.
Hey, first of all, we're taking this uh, the, the Sue family instead of the Donald family, right?
For the price tag and the
Price tag and
catcher
and the family. The family's dope. Yes. Shout out to the family.
Yeah.
Andrew says early thoughts on Jalen Carter. If you've been watching this pod for a while, he was our guy. That's who we wanted. With all the red flags aside, we still thought great value where they got him. Perfect situation.
I think they're going to utilize him, you know, a whole lot more than what they kind of did with Jordan Davis. I mean, the hype for this kid to come, you know, to get drafted, and then, you know, we went out there and we got him. Yeah, I mean, minus the red flags that he's got, I mean, he's got the potential to be, you know, that key player in the league, man. So I think, you know, he's going to definitely get put to work a whole lot this season. And it's a good problem to have, you know what I mean? I love it. I love the fact that we have multiple players that could play that position. But, I mean, yeah, this kid's going to be stud. And, yeah, they're going to definitely put him out there a lot.
Let's see.
I still see that the Buda Baker thing is still just floating around out there. What you guys, like, if you had to put a percentage chance on Buda Baker ending up in Philly, what do you put to that?
That's low. I think the money wise,
up
like
25%, or,
you know, I just really think they really want to see what they got in terms of
Reed and Edmonds.
Reed and Sidney Brown.
And Sidney Brown.
I think they got a steal in the third, but you know, Rakshak had mentioned any free agent safeties that are out there, the available safeties that are out there: John Johnson, Devin McCourty.
I thought he retired.
Who's that?
McCourty.
Not yet. He's still.
LaMarcus Joyner, Marcus Allen, AJ Moore, Brandon Wilson, Eric Harris. Ronnie Harrison.
Yeah, we're getting pretty thin right now.
Nasir Adderley, Delaware native. Tony Jefferson.
Yeah, maybe we just see how things play out.
Carl Joseph. I mean, again, you have to see what you have.
Doesn't he do weather?
So, and people are talking about linebackers. Obviously, I think linebacker could be a position where, you know, we'd love to see what we got in. What's his name?
Jay asked, can Sidney Brown play strong safety? I think that's kind of where he would excel, no? Because him down in the butt, didn't Mal say that he had like a million interceptions within the 10 yards of the line of scrimmage?
Actually, farther than that, because I actually went back and watched all the interceptions. Okay. So they were farther back. He's the guy at the Senior Bowl who actually, you know, I saw him in coverage on some shifty, speedy wideouts, and he held his own. I was actually surprised how he actually mentioned those exact reps I'm talking about. As after they saw him in the Senior Bowl, they figured that. I mean, that's what you're saying. He's got that hybrid vibe to him. He loves to hit, run around, and he just showed he's in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm. And but I also think that Reed kind of has a ball hawk kind of eye. You know what I mean? I think he has a great ability of positioning himself in the right spot and watching the quarterback's eyes. And I think that's why he would excel more at free safety.
I agree with you. If he comes into this season carrying over what he left off with last season, he's going to fill that position just fine. I think we're going to be good there. We don't need to go outside of the box for anybody else.
Now, Deshae brings up Byard from Tennessee. Obviously, you know, they're shifting things around in Tennessee. You know, it's all about the money down there. I mean, if he's also from Philadelphia as well. If they're trying to kick him out the door, I'm not going to say no, but I'm saying at the end of the day, you in this camp, you have to see what you have. Like, we have a phenomenal offense. What better litmus test than our offense to see how good these safeties can be and hold their own against this unit? So I'm cool with that.
Patrick Queen, another name I've seen thrown around all offseason. Tim Perkins asked, I mean, honestly, I would bring Patrick Queen in for the right number. I know that there's a lot of people that are, oh, Patrick Queen sucks. He had a down year last year, blah, blah, blah. The dude's still young. And when we're talking in terms of depth, I mean, I wouldn't mind having another body in the linebacker position.
Now let's see some linebackers that are out there. Miles Jack. Miles Jack has been talked about. Quan Alexander.
I'm all right with Quan Alexander.
Yeah, I like Quan Alexander too.
Deion Jones. Not Mike Jones, but Deion Jones. Is Mike Jones still rapping, by the way?
I don't think so.
Todd says, I'm going to go to Dr. Miami to get a six pick like Sidney Brown. Right. Like all of the scouts that I talked to at the Senior Bowl were like, bro, kid out there, the one ripped up. Everything was ripped up. The kid with the ripped up. The kid that sure got his abs shown. Yeah. The kid, Sidney Brown, guy that's ripped up. Yeah. Saying.
Isn't that how Zeke used to wear his shirt too when he had a six pack, and now he's just got a beer gut?
Mark says, "Who we're talking about?
Running in between trash cans and thinking he's the fastest man." Yeah, all right.
Now, Bob from Down Under says Christian Ellis is the sneaky dark horse of that group.
Yeah, Christian Ellis and Bob. This isn't a shot, but Christian Ellis to me is turning into the Paul Turner story. I keep on seeing people hype up Christian Ellis, and I'm hopeful. No, I want to see once training camp. Like, is he living up to everything that people are saying? But I'm sitting here thinking, like, this just feels like another training camp fan favorite type of thing. You know what I mean?
No, I think he showed out on special teams. He's a His brother, Noah, did not make the team. I think he's on the practice squad. Maybe no. Noah Ellis?
No.
I think he's gone. But Christian Ellis stuck around. I think he's been shining, getting picks. Anytime you pick off the starting quarterback, make a name for yourself.
Didn't who was it? Was it Sean Considine that had three picks in one game? No, Kirk Coleman. Kirk Coleman had three picks in one game. And then everybody's, oh, he fucking sucks. Then he went and had a decent career in Carolina.
We had Jordan Poyer on this team. We let him go.
Yeah.
What'd he get? Snuck. Someone picked him off the practice squad?
Practice squad.
Yeah. Shout out to Will. He says, what's up? Go Birds. Tim, shout out to Tim. He says, big year to see what N'Kobe Dean can do.
Absolutely.
I do feel like this is everyone's favorite moment.
That's my guy that I'm leaning on, like, oh, this is guy's gonna pop off.
This is one of my questions, and I just wanted to know which going into camp, who are you most excited to see offensively, defensively? Give me a veteran and give me a rookie.
For both sides, veteran and rookie. Offensively, I'm excited to see the veteran, Rashad Penny. I feel like there's been a lot of talk about DeAndre Swift, and I think that DeAndre Swift is going to be strong. I just think that I feel like Rashad Penny and DeAndre Swift are a lot more even than people think, and I think that we're really going to show that we have a true two-headed monster coming out of the backfield.
So you're more excited to see Penny than Swift?
No, I'm saying that I feel like a lot of the talk has been about Swift. I'm saying I don't want Penny to kind of get swept to the side because all the conversation that I hear is about Swift.
Jay Koch says Nolan Smith and Swift for him.
Offensive rookie, dude. I guess I'll go Steen on that one. I'm hoping that Steen in training camp is able to. Sorry if I took that from you there.
No, I'm just saying, but that's like kind of like the only option. That's the only option, really.
So Steen, I think, is we're really just kind of sitting here hoping that he's able to fill that right guard position, exactly. Right? Because there's a lot of thought that maybe we can give it to Cam Jurgens. I don't want to do that. I want to save Cam for Kelsey's replacement. And I think that's the best case scenario. So Steen balling out, that would make me really happy.
We have a from Todd. Todd says Swift for him offensively, Blankenship and Brown, and that would be the safeties. And then Steen, the rookie out of Bama. That's Stoutland University, Bama. Mm-hmm. Bob from Down Under gives us a Steen, Quez offensively, and then Brown.
I got
Ellis.
I got another offensive one for you out of left field. How about this? Tanner McKee over Ian Book. I want to see if Tanner can win that third quarterback.
That third string. That third string. And I'd be interested. For me, I mean, like I said, Steen, I mean, that's kind of like the only option I would see on the rookie side.
Just hating on Tanner McKee.
Veteran side, man, I'm going to go opposite from Evan, man. I'm looking forward to seeing Swift. You know what I mean? I know he had a down season in Detroit. But he's key, man. And the fact that we were able to get him this offseason, him coming back home, I'm looking forward to seeing what, you know, he brings to the squad, man. I know we're loaded in that position, but, you know, between him, Penny, Scott, Gainwell, I mean, there's going to be a lot of damage being done there. On the defensive side, he's not really considered like a veteran, but, I mean, this is his sophomore year. I'm all in with N'Kobe Dean, man, seeing if he's ready to take that somewhat of a leadership role, especially, I mean, to call the plays that in that huddle on the defensive side. And then on the rookies, man, I'm actually looking forward to seeing Nolan Smith, bro. I am. I see another Hassan Reddick. I mean, who knows, man? He could be popping off a little bit more than Hassan. Like, the guy's just he's got that energy in him. And you wouldn't even think that just by his appearance. Like, he's just like that laid-back, geek-looking style dude that sits in the back, you know what I mean? But it's always those guys that bring all the energy when it comes to playing, you know what I mean, the position. And I'm looking forward to seeing him go to work, bro.
Now, if I'm going to give my guys – I'm going to have to say I'm jacked up to see the progression of Devontae Smith. Like, I just think everyone's talking, you know, rightfully so. A.J. Brown gets a lot of the talk, but I just, like, from a development standpoint, we've seen him grow as, like, he is a certified dog. He's a certified dog, but he's also now he's even more his game is even more refined. I just think it's such a luxury to have both these guys.
I can't believe his name even came out. This guy,
Derek Barnett from Mr. Cross. Defensively, I'm gonna go. I am excited to see what Sidney Brown is, because if you guys have been following her during the offseason, during the draft season, Sidney Brown was the guy that was my standout guy that I brought to the table that I wanted to check out, and he's here. But then Nolan Smith too. Those two guys, I mean, but then I have to go Carter as well. Like, those three.
I want to say the Bulldogs, the new additional Bulldogs that came to the squad this year.
For me, I didn't give out my defensive, but One that I is a guy that I've liked ever since he entered the league, and I've been waiting for him to kind of bust out, is Milton Williams. I think he's another guy that kind of gets lost in the fold in that middle defensive line. And I think that he is a guy that has potential now going into year three to really ball out and show what he's made of. And rookie wise, I want to see, I'm hoping that Kelee Ringo, man, I want to see Kelee Ringo give me something that he can start chomping at some ankles for a starting job, man, in time to come. Obviously, he's got a long way ahead of him.
Certified Ringo stand below you.
Yeah, I know. That's Prime's guy. Also, I got to get something off my chest. Am I in a safe space? Are we in the trust tree right now?
Is this your random thought?
This is a random thought.
But is it your big random thought?
I don't know. Okay.
This one could look like it kind of hit hard.
I'm not in love with the zero jersey number.
Nah, you're not feeling it.
I don't really like it.
No.
No.
What? Why?
I was hyped for it when we were talking about it, and you know, the idea of the zero. I like Maxi in the zero. And then I saw the Eagles jersey and I was like,
You don't want to have like a villain Vanilla Ice moment? Drop that zero, get with the hero.
Thanks, everybody. It's been a great time.
If you're too young, see yourself out.
See y'all next week.
All hands, we here.
Yeah, no, I'm just
was that really all cool as ice?
Drop that zero, get with the hero.
Deshae is saying that Milton Williams is going to pick up right where Hargrave left off.
And that's exactly where I was going to say earlier, man. You know what I mean? Hargrave, PC, you know what I mean? You want to go ahead and jump on that 49er whining bandwagon. Go ahead, bro. We got your replacement. We got your replacement.
Yo, Prime, while we're at it, should we go random thought? Wait, what's your random thought, Prime?
Random thought?
Oh, yep. Man. I don't even really, I don't know, bro. One really hasn't even synced in.
Prime didn't get that text.
Nah, I did, but I just honestly, I've been
thinking of was relevant stuff.
No, I just really, like, I really can't sit here and think about it because we touched on random stuff that, you know.
So a thought that you've been thinking about over the offseason.
What's been weighing on you, Eagles-wise?
You got one, I know you do.
You're in the trust tree.
I know, man, but I'm just
because you want your graphic to just look like this.
I'm lost, man. Come back to me. Come back to me in a couple minutes. I don't know.
Maybe there should be tacos at the tailgate or something. It could be anything.
Ain't nothing topping the cheese steaks, bro. So I can't even. I can't. Ooh. Even.
All right, I'm about you, Gail? My random thought, and I'm not gonna say it's weird, but I just think just looking at this team lose to Tom Brady in the playoffs, there was players on that roster who were developing. We're talking about.
You mean when we lost first the Bucks?
First the Bucks, and I got embarrassed for the second time going to
Tampa Bay.
Two times already. And I sat there in front of all those Bucks fans that were just deriding, man. They were not even Bucks fans. They were like, actually, one guy was a Washington fan dressed in Bucks gear.
Mm.
But anyway, my random thought is
not going back to Tampa.
What that loss did for the younger players on the squad, I think. Gave them a taste of like what could be if we get it together. And again, even some of these younger guys on this roster making it to a Super Bowl in some of their second and third years, what this could actually mean for the franchise moving forward. Like the taste of making it to a Super Bowl and then two, seeing what it takes to get to a Super Bowl team-wise, the unity, you know, just what Sirianni has kind of talked about connecting, what it takes to get to a Super Bowl. You don't get to see that too often. And what these guys have seen, you know, they're playing for a city that backs the team. They're playing for a unit that is, I think, gelling. They have a quarterback whose jersey sales is number one in the NFL. I mean, it's just good vibes going. But I feel like even though the Super Bowl lost as much as it sucked, I think for the younger guys, I think they're going to take away a lot from that loss.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that especially with Jalen Hurts being so young and making it to that game, he now knows what it takes to get there. Not only what it takes to get there, but also like what a winning team looks like. You know, I know that there's like Kelsey, I'm sure, could go down but he could look at a Eagles team after like three or four games into the season and be like, yeah, we're pretty much this. We're going to fall in this category. And for us to be in such a good spot right now to where our expectations are the Super Bowl, and B, for so many young guys to be a part of that Super Bowl squad, to know what it's like to be there, that's invaluable.
Now, Blue Beanie's random thought. He says, not only do I love the zero jersey, he's doubling down. He wants the NFL to allow a double zero jersey. I respect that one. I like that.
Who wasn't there an NBA player that was double zero?
Arenas?
Robert Parrish, no?
Robert Parrish.
Robert Parrish.
Was he double zero or zero?
Wasn't Arenas?
Arenas was single zero.
Was it single zero?
Yeah. And it when he was Josh huffing guns around the locker room.
Yeah. Shout out. You see, he's got a daughter playing basketball now. She's lights out.
Yo, did you see what was it? Gilbert Arenas that was chilling with. Was it Swaggy P? I don't know, but he was running around and terrorizing someone's kids. Did you see that video?
No, I didn't.
Dude, he chased. I think it was Swaggy P's son into a into like this bedroom, and then his daughter was sitting in there too. And then Nick was like, "Oh, you know, get away from my kids." And he's like, "I just want to make her cry real quick." And he barked at her until the baby started crying.
Like, so I'm ready to talk about a random thought. And honestly, this is something that I was thinking about, but I just didn't know if I wanted to bring it to light again, because
I told you we're in the trust tree.
I know, but like, I feel like we've touched upon this, but we really haven't gotten into deep detail. But I sit here at times, or like if I'm taking a ride home, like, what would it really be like if we were in a situation that the Redskin fans are in, or the 49er fans are in right now, or one of those sorry ass teams in the league would be like? What would the energy be like with this podcast, with this squad? Like, just, you know, I mean, like, if we were just ass, if we stayed with Chip Kelly, if we stayed with Carson, if Dougie P, as he was diminishing his with us, would still be here, you know what I mean? Would we have any and all of this going on right now? Like, what would it be like? Would a Devontae be here? Would an AJ be here? Like, what? I just don't even know how I would act, because we've been through the worst with this squad, and I just don't know if I'm ready to ever go back.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question just based off of that. Let's say all of the same moves happen, all the same draft picks, all the same trades. The only thing that's different is we never got Nick Sirianni and we kept Doug Peterson. Do you think that we would have been in the Super Bowl last year or any of the previous years?
If you switched out the coaches?
It's just the coaches. We keep the AJ Brown trade, we keep the everything else.
I don't know.
The only thing switched is we still have Doug Peterson.
But hold on, before you even answer that question, I'm looking at some of the comments. I'm gonna tell you guys, I'm gonna keep it 100 with y'all. Yes, I've actually dreamed this shit. I have. I really have. I woke up on the side of my bed like, what the fuck?
I don't. It makes you thankful, doesn't it?
Yo, what? What?
Todd says that's a nightmare, not a random thought. Prime. Yeah, Will says, wake up, Prime. It's just a bad dream. Bob from Down Under says, when I think of that, Prime, I must say my respect for Larry and his boy Howie has gone through the roof.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my respect for Howie Roseman has done a complete 180 over the past 6-7 years, man.
Yeah, because we were all on that boat to go ahead and talk.
Dude, I mean, you could easily dig up multiple shows that we were on, and I was just, you know, from the top of the soapbox, just get rid of this cockroach, Howie Roseman. I'm sick of him.
Shout out to Eagles One. Hey, fellas, long time. First time. Love the show. Y'all speak about our birds from the heart and the head, and I love it. Shout out to you. Shout out for you.
Appreciate you
stopping by. You know, stop on by, be a regular. We love the regulars. Come join us out at a tailgate. Yes, come meet us up with us on a trip. Shout out to you. Let's see. We had another random topic up here that I wanted to bring up. Somebody asked a question. Shout out to Will. He says, how difficult is it to go back to Super Bowl the next year? I think when you get a blueprint, what in terms of the veterans, they talk about it. I recently saw Fletcher Cox on a podcast with Chris Long. It said that the minute after they lost, he went to the locker room and threw up. He said it was the worst feeling He said, you know, he's still not over it. He's still, you talk about guys that have the hunger to go back and get that. I think the younger guys, even hungrier. I think everyone's more, is going to be more dialed in. Obviously, they've all spoken about the Super Bowl hangover and where some teams fall apart.
Well, it's crazy because not only in a player's perspective, but as us fans, I know we are locked in. We are ready to make that run again. You know what I mean?
Lord,
we are. Back to the Super Bowl, especially with the way things went last year. And then, like we had mentioned earlier in the show, the bar being set, we've got goals just as well to get back to that promised land and, you know what I mean, take it all the way. So it's all around. It's all around with this organization and with this fan base. That's how I look at it.
If there's one thing that I could say is that, like, when we won the Super Bowl, that experience for me was a kind of eye-opening in the fact of, like, A, damn, it's hard to get there. It's hard to win it. You know, and to get back and repeat, like, I don't know. It gives you an appreciation for just how hard that is to put together. So many things need to go perfectly. It's not just about good quarterback play. It's about your defense absolutely balling out as well. It's about your quarterback having multiple options. It's about not, you know, having a weak link in special teams, because that was a thing that hurt us in this previous Super Bowl too. You don't give up that punt return, things could have went differently. And so everything just needs to go perfectly in order to win that game. And, you know, it's just a luck of the draw thing sometimes, man.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, I just pray that everybody stays healthy, because that's our only shot.
Now, Darren with a quote here says, best quote I've heard from a QB was Hurt saying, "I didn't walk through all that fire just to smell the smoke." Mm. He's going to keep our locker room culture right for years to come, as long as he keeps that mindset, which no doubt he will. I think we talk about hip hop quotables. Jalen Hurts laid down some quotables last year. And I think again, remember, if you go back in the beginning, just talking about there's a coach speak level to Jalen Hurts that I've always talked about, that he speaks fluent coach speak, but mm-hmm. he's actually a guy who lives it and believes it. And you see guys or play with teammates who live in that mindset, and there's some guys that just don't have that, like, inner mantra going on at all times. Jalen Hurts he's that dude, man. I mean, a lot of the players do talk about that mental makeup that he brings to the table, and it's true. Any other random thoughts out there? We had, shout out to Pete Nathan showing up with always a hot take. His defense didn't show up in the Super Bowl. Not a hot take. That's
fact.
But then the turf showed up as well.
Yeah.
Oh, look at Pete, man. He's just going right for the gusto. He said Jalen made a mistake too by fumbling.
He must be in the kitchen cooking.
He's throwing all the spices around.
I know Pete is a new father. He's gonna be tough on his kid. I could just tell you he's gonna nitpick. He's gonna go there. He's like, you left your shoes in the corner of the room, son.
I'll give Pete his props though. I mean, me and Gail were talking earlier about the top ranked corners in the league. PS2 at number one in the league right now. That was Pete's guy.
Mm-hmm.
He said PS2.
Yeah, my guy was an honorable mention coming back from injury, but obviously, you know, our wide receiver Devontae Smith cooked up something nice for Surtain.
Yes, sir.
That's our guy.
Patrick Surtain talks a lot of shit out there.
Yeah.
Have you seen his father?
No.
Go talk about his son. Uh-uh. Rightfully so. Bob from Down Under's random thought. I kind of see Dougie P version was Halfrey 1.0 of limiting coaches. 2.0 was last year. Now this is kind of 2.5 of their formula. The size is a huge mystery. I do think from a Howie pumping your chest perspective, you made it back to a Super Bowl with a different, you know, coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
There's some player coaches that were there, but I'm just saying in terms of like it's a whole new team they brought back. Not a whole new team, but there were some guys on that Super Bowl team. Very lacking. Have you guys seen what the Super Bowl roster looks like?
What do you mean? From the previous Super Bowl?
Talk amongst yourself as I find that. I'll bring it up.
PS2, I just put this Pete comment on here just to will it into existence because, you know, he was the one that willed into existence that PS2 would be the top corner. And now Pete's here saying PS2 will be an Eagle in a few years.
Yeah,
I'll hang on to that. Once Darius leaves, that's cool with me.
You know what would be cool with one of these video, like especially Madden, if they were able to give us the ability to go ahead and put a simulation game together. I would actually take last year's Super Bowl team against our actual winning Super Bowl team and, you know, I mean, let them duke it out.
This is hilarious to me that Eagles 1 has been thinking about the Donito for like 50 minutes.
Yeah.
So Eagle says it's
yo, that's mine. Don't touch it.
You gotta get trademark your name.
Sugar frosted, lightly seasoned donuts stuffed with mild or spicy meat or bird mixture with ground plantains.
If he goes with the Donito, the primito Donito,
that filling would be amazing.
Man. I like that.
Can we go into business?
Yo,
get a Donito.
You got it. You ever had a plantain with the ground meat inside of it, bro?
Yeah.
Evan, we got to take you out one day, bro. We got to get you out. We got to get you out, bro.
I'm in.
Next thing you know, that's his key on when you go to Puerto Rico.
Walking around plantain.
Yeah, talk about Prime talking about eating some out of the box things, you know. You can't even get him to eat some
Seafood,
man.
I can't do it, bro.
We'll get them there. I was talking about that Super Bowl photo of players that were on the team and gone. I was trying to keep this a tally of guys that
you've been keeping that a tally.
I've been keeping privately. This is how nerdy I am. Jeez. I sit here and give a mark and X to players.
You gotta update this still because you got McLeod checked off.
Let's see here. Yeah, so I mean, I still gotta update this. So
yeah,
don't get me wrong. So
Brandon Brooks also gone.
See, Brandon Brooks gone. Zach Ertz gone. McLeod gone. So basically left from that Super Bowl team.
Isaac Seumalo gone.
Seumalo's gone.
We have Jake Elliott. We have
BJ.
We have
LC Johnson, Rick Lovato, Cox, mm-hmm. Barnett. I can't see who.
In the back is Greg Ward.
Oh, is that actually, Greg Ward back there?
He was on the practice squad, but he's in the Super Bowl picture. So
nice.
So talk about, you know, you talk about the Super Bowl team. There's not many guys left.
Mm-mm. That's crazy. Stop. But I mean, when you look at the guys that are still here, like, let me find that picture one more time. When you look at the guys that are still here, like, it's the core guys, you know what I mean? The Kelseys, Lane Johnson, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox. Those four guys still being here, like, those are true captains of this team. I think that is kind of the glue that's helped keep us together.
The glue, Bob's talking about, how do you get in there? Meat frosting funnel? He's talking about the donuts, man.
Oh, bro.
You'd be surprised. From the Donito.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
I think you got to surprise the people on the first tailgate with some Donitos.
Hey, listen, I think I might have to put something together. You're absolutely right, bro. I think I might have to go ahead and shop.
Taco donut, bro.
But, Pete, no. I would recommend some pretty good Puerto Rican spots in Camden, New Jersey, bro. Real talk. Some real good spots over there that I would definitely like to take Evan and Gail to.
Hey, you used to go to the original Donkeys, right?
I used to go to the original Donkeys. Yep, right around the corner from my pop's bar. Yep.
All right. I brought you. Now you got to take us to Camden for some Puerto Rican food.
No doubt. But I'll definitely make a stop at Donkeys as well, bro. You know what I mean? That place is off the chain.
Yeah,
place is
great.
I think we have to trademark that one. Donito.com.
Donito.
you just sound like you like that by saying Donito.
I like that. Watch out now. It's coming. Donito.
Hey, is anyone a Donito to our GoFundMe? Blue Meanie says there's a spot on Passyunk Ave called the Punk Burger that has a peanut butter and bacon jam mulch. Wow.
That sounds great.
We might have to. We should take a tour of random Philly spots. A peanut butter and bacon jam milkshake. I actually had at this place called Kid Shaleen's in Wilmington. They have a peanut butter and jelly wings.
What?
He said what? What?
Fucked up. I feel like that's a science experiment,
bro. The sweet and sourness to it. It's like
you
had them.
That's a goop. Yeah.
Had it four times.
That's an oops.
You've ordered it four times.
Is that already good? That good?
Holy guacamole.
Because you're talking about like...
what kind of peanut butter they put on it?
I don't know. It's not nutty like Evan's nutty, but it's flavor.
Pause. Serious pause.
It's not a crunchy nut. It's a creamy nut.
That didn't even sound better either.
I think we need to pause this.
So, Douglas Michael says, I heard Angelo's is the best new Philly cheesesteak spot.
Mal's not even here. Look how he's reacting. I can't agree with the whole Angelo's thing, man. You know what I mean? I don't know. Right now,
Prime turn me on to Sonny's, bro.
Yeah, Sonny's is still, Sonny's to me right now is still
second in market.
But, Gail, I like your idea, man. I think we need to, you know, group up and go test out some of these spots, especially with a bunch of this. I'm getting fucking hungry.
Prime, bro. You really sound like Optimus Prime right now with your mic.
My bad. Yeah.
He sounds fine. I think it's your headphones.
I think it might be your headphones too.
Prime, your mic is electronic.
Gail, I think it's you. It's your headphones.
Is it me?
It's your headphones. Yeah.
Headphones?
Yeah, stop muting my shit. My shit
sounds fine. We're off the rails. It's time to close this one out.
Tell me how this feels. Here, now you're muted.
Oh. Bob wants to know, how far is Camden from the link? A literal stone's throw, Rob. It's right across the Delaware River.
8 minutes. Yep. 8 minutes, that's it.
But you do want a tour guide.
Yes.
You do not want to go to the wrong part.
No.
Yeah, and don't be pulling up on the block like, I heard this is the best spot. No.
Oh yeah, well, here, follow me. I'll take you for a tour.
Hey, but I want to give a big shout out to Philly Sports Trips. Now, if you guys are looking to do a trip, so I know someone mentioned in the comments which trips we're trying to go to. I think we're looking at the opener. We're looking at potentially KC and LA.
in on that.
I'm trying to. Then I'm looking at other games where I thought I might be going to, but now that we got a house, I don't.
Life kicking in.
All of a sudden, I got a like the last pay for.
Yo, listen. Tranquilo. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Fine. Can't wait for the housewarming party.
What? That's what I'm definitely looking forward to.
Hey, maybe we get a low ski to DJ in the backyard.
Oh.
Oh, man. You're already getting kicked out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, everyone's like, these guys. Coming in with the mixes here. But like I said, shout out to Philly Sports Trips. If you're trying to book a trip, go to phillysportstrips.com or check them out at Sports Trips PHL for more information on all socials. Shout out to Bud Light for holding us down all these years at the tailgate. They do what they do and they support. Big fan of them. Shout out to Conshohocken Bakery. 50 years of awesomeness. They've been around for 50 years for a reason. Make sure you can check out them. Give Tina some love. And get a tomato pie made up like AJ Brown or Jalen Hurts.
And the cookies. And the cookies.
And some cookies. But before we get out of here, man, last word.
Ooh, last word. You threw Bud Light back up there, pal. I feel like we've touched on a lot. My biggest takeaway from this show, the fucking zero jersey. I just want to wish everybody a happy week. Enjoy the rest of your July. I will be in Mexico come the next show, probably. So looking forward to that. I just also want to give a big congratulations once again to Gail and Amanda. That's a monumentous day for you guys, and I'm happy for you.
Pity packing off for that. I agree, man. That's a very big accomplishment. My Lord. I know we've been talking about it throughout the week, and I'm honestly happy that you were able to seal the deal quickly, bro. Because I'm telling you, that could have been
like a war zone out there. From what I hear, it could have been a
serious war zone, but. You know, I mean, that's what's
and, up. Shout out to Prime. Like, I'm hitting up, shout out to Tim as well. I've been any of my homeowners out there, I'm like, yo, what do I do? How does an offer look like? What did you like?
Mail just
really
shows
is
up at the front door. I don't know how does it work.
It really is competitive out there. It is competitive out there. Make sure you get yourself a good realtor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but with that being said, man, I want to give I don't want to kill the momentum because this episode was something I needed, especially with the laughs and always getting together with you guys. But I want to give a shout out to my family, man, the Concepcion family. I lost my uncle this past Saturday. That one kind of hit home. He's a little bit younger than me. I mean, I was talking to my wife last night and remembering the childhood years where I got this little kid running around and here I got to call him Theo. He's my uncle, you know what I mean? But that was the reality to it. But we lost him at a very young life. He's going to be truly missed. So shout out to my family. This is big. We're trying to hold it down, keep our composure. The tough part is coming, but together as a family, we get through it. So I love you guys. I know some of you guys are tuning in. I appreciate y'all, but we got this. We're gonna be all right.
Prayers to you and your family, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, prayers up, man. At the end of the day, man, it's just like Eagle Talks will get you through some tough times, like the last couple months. It's been tough, but the Eagles Talks and you guys are always holding it down. You guys in the comments always keeping us going, getting us through this off season, like you guys always do with the topics in the comments. We're getting gassed, man. It's 2 weeks away for some real news topics. There's been a lot of BS topics that you've seen out there. Like I've stopped clicking on videos because I get hyped for something, some kind of info, and it's really nothing. So I decided we should just take 2 weeks off and not do anything.
and just chill out and just kind of like just kind of like.
But now I came back rejuvenated. Like I was looking all I was looking forward to the show all day. So yeah.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Big shout out to Mal. Hopefully all is well in the home. Hopefully wifey's good. Shout out to Hollis and your brother and moms, man. I hope you guys have a good time enjoying each other. We'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, it's Fly Eagles Fly.
Go Birds.